racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
The Ryder Cup excitement level is almost off the charts. The teams are almost set in stone, and now the preparations begin. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., and we're really happy that you choose to join us in the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. And Jay, the world of golf is abuzz at the moment.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, we still have two playoff events to finish up the PGA Tour season, but worldwide, the focus is on the Ryder Cup. I think the fact that the venue is France this year, that we got to see that golf course. And I think on the European side, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts, clearly the picks by Captain Bjorn a little bit more controversial and maybe against the grain than Captain Jim Furyk.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little while. First, I think, Jay, only fitting we examine the U.S. picks. Certainly not any excitement. It was like, hey, wait a minute, I've seen this movie before. I think, matter of fact, on the Grill Room last week, we announced that the three picks were going to be Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and Bryson DeChambeau. Certainly, Captain Furyk didn't disappoint us.
No, I mean, Jim Furyk's life has been made extremely easy, and if he wants to continue that trend, next in line is Tony Finau, and you just pack up the ship and head on over to France. I mean, this was not a tough call. DeChambeau, I mean, just completely validating what he did the week before, obviously this week. Phil playing some good golf, Tiger playing some good golf, the fact that you got two veterans that probably would have been captains anyway, but are playing well enough to play for this team. I think Jim Furyk's kind of licking his chops. I think he wishes it was this week.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And here's what he had to say after making that announcement.
I would have to say that I'm extremely happy with the 11 players we have. Got a lot of confidence in those players. I think we have some great chemistry. I think we have some great pairing opportunities. We've got some great veteran leadership, and we've got some youth. It's a well-rounded team, and we'll go to work getting set to go. I also know that I've been excited to get to this position and excited to go to France, and I also know the task at hand as well. I mean, we all know they have an incredible crowd. They make a lot of noise. I love their organization. I love their songs. I love their chants. I'm looking forward to hearing that noise, and I know this group of guys is up for that challenge and excited to meet that challenge. But one of the big things we have in work coming up is the golf course. The one thing, they know this golf course extremely well. They've played the French Open there for 25 years. They love it. It's a great golf course. Massive greens, a lot of different unique pin placements. Our big work right now is getting ready for that golf course, and we'll have a very short period of time in person to do that when we're in France. And so my job is to get these guys ready, to prepare them as best I can. But those 3 days that we're there for practice rounds will be key.
Couple of key points, Jay, that I want to put on your radar screen. First, and foremost, I mean, pretty easy for Jim, and he's lucky that at 9, 10, and 11, in points. So certainly no big discussions about the picks, and nobody's going to argue with Phil or Tiger being chosen. And if he didn't pick DeChambeau, they would have had him committed. but the more important point in listening to Jim Furyk, and it's a point that I really don't like, and I like Jim Furyk, the little planting a seed already about the golf course. Maybe the golf course is going to be a problem. Like that. Give me your take.
They've done some redesign to this golf course, and yeah, some of the guys have played it for a number of years. I mean, let's be honest. If the PGA of America announced next week that the 2033 Ryder Cup's at the TPC Sawgrass, that's going to be a benefit for, you know, American players. But the game is so global now that I don't think it's as big a factor, but I do think it's interesting that Jim brings it up. Justin Thomas obviously played over there and played the golf course. How big of an advantage that is, I don't know, because you never know how a golf course is going to get set up. But I do think it's a legitimate thing to say, you know, I think, you know, all this time goes by and you're picking the outfits and you're talking about dinners and flights and where we're going to stay and whose guru is coming with them and who am I going to take. That's all pretty much done except for the one pick. And now it becomes real. You know, now you know you're going to get on the grounds there in France in a couple weeks, and it's time to play golf. And nobody knows that better than Jim Furyk. So he's trying to make the focus on the golf. I understand your thoughts. Maybe he's getting a little ahead of himself with the golf course because, you know, they're all going to be playing the same place. I don't know that it's that big of an advantage.
And the other thing that he did very skillfully, as far as I'm concerned, he alluded to the fact, I know it's going to be noisy. I know there's going to be songs. I like those songs. I mean, so he took the positive approach because, guess what? It is going to be noisy and there's going to be a lot of songs. I mean, you can bet your bottom dollar on that.
Well, and that's one of the things that I'm going to look forward to seeing here, and in a sense, a little bit at the Open Championship next year when it's in Northern Ireland, is how are the crowds? I mean, we know how boisterous they can get in Scotland, and you know, it's not a long jaunt from London or Scotland to go over there and make a trip of it to France. So, I'll be curious to see, Bob, how those crowds are. And, you know, I'm expecting them to maybe to be a little bit lighter. When I mean lighter, a little softer, a little kinder than they have been. At least that's kind of my hope, because I think, you know, at the heart of the matter, that's what this thing was when it first got started, was a friendly competition.
Well, it has certainly evolved to something far different than that. I've spoken quite a bit to Thomas LeVay from France, good player, almost won the Open Championship once, and he assures me that it is going to be raucous. I mean, down and dirty, and they're going to try and capitalize on that home field advantage. And, hey, so we're going to have to wait and see. So somebody that really was happy, can you imagine you went back-to-back on the PGA Tour? You're in great position going into the Tour Championship, and we're going to throw you a little dessert. You're on the Ryder Cup team. Here's what Bryson had to say.
He invited me to the team, and that was a tremendous honor. And there's some moments in life that are just too good to be true, and that was one of them, but it was true. And it was an honor that I'll never forget. That'll be locked away in my memory for a long time.
You know, he said he'll never forget it, and then he said it's going to be a long time. So I don't know which is which there, but certainly he's done everything that he needed to do and more to get on the team. I think in general, he's just becoming a real force on the PGA Tour.
You have pointed out on numerous occasions throughout the year, as DeChambeau started to make this rise, that, you know, don't be so surprised. This was the top junior player. This was the top amateur and collegiate player, won an NCAA amateur, an NCAA championship and a USAM. So you've been trying to let people know that this is there. And as we've talked about, Bob, the fact that he is a complicated guy as it relates to the way he approaches the game. I don't know him as an individual. I mean, he might be the greatest dude in the world. All I see is from the golf perspective. And from the golf perspective, when it's against the norm, it throws people for a loop a little bit. And I'll tell you this, it doesn't throw Tiger for a loop. It's pretty clear that Captain Furyk is going to put those two guys together. And why wouldn't you, after DeChambeau shoots 63 playing with Tiger in the third round in Boston? So you know, the question becomes, Bob, is are we looking at a guy that's going to be a multiple major champion? Now, granted, he doesn't have any yet. But, I mean, are we looking at a guy that in the next couple of years is going to be the dominant player? I mean, he certainly has been here recently, and it's much tougher to do so because of the depth of talent. But, I mean, if you're Dustin Johnson, if you're Justin Thomas, if you're Jordan Spieth, if you're any of those big elite guys, you've got to be going, whoa, here comes this Bryson guy.
4 wins in the last 13 months. I will make this statement, and I agree wholeheartedly with you, that it looks pretty much cast in stone that DeChambeau is going to be paired with Tiger Woods. There's a far greater chance following the Ryder Cup that Tiger's irons are all the same length than there is that DeChambeau is going to have a regular set of irons in his bag. Trust me on that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, you and I have seen guys that Mac O'Grady back in the day. I mean, you know, guys that don't follow the normal routine of a tour pro kind of get the odd looks. But as I've tried to tell people the last week or so with this DeChambeau run, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what Bryson thinks. He repeats it. He believes it. He trusts it. And damn, he's good.
Yeah, and he's good on details, Jay. How about this? He knew, you know, obviously anybody that's followed the Ryder Cup over the last several years, ping pong has suddenly become a huge part of Ryder Cup talk. In the team rooms, they have a ping pong table. I mean, pretty soon, maybe they'll put a bowling alley in there and they'll be talking about bowling. But for now, it's a ping pong table. And Bryson DeChambeau, over the last few months, had built a robot to hit ping pong balls at him over the net. So he didn't want. He does not want to go into that team room and somebody say, "Well, Bryson, you're winning a lot on the PGA Tour. You got any game on the table?" Well, he's ready. But can you imagine building a robot to hit ping pong balls back at you?
No. I absolutely cannot. But again. He goes to the beat of a different drummer than I do.
Yeah, and just about everybody else. Well, Phil Mickelson, certainly happy about being on this team. There's one stat that just comes up that this is hard to believe. Neither Tiger Woods nor Phil Mickelson, Mr. Randolph, have ever won a Ryder Cup on foreign soil. I mean, that didn't even make sense.
It certainly doesn't, especially the dominance, Bob, that you and I saw throughout the 70s and into the early 80s. I mean, it is shocking when you think that the two best players during their era, one of the greatest players of all time, and I think the other in the top 10, have never won a Ryder Cup on foreign soil. And that's why I think this one, it's kind of, like you said at the start of the show, Bob, it's just been building and bubbling like we were going into the Masters. And I think that the fact that we've still got some meaningful golf ahead of us before it is only going to add to it. And you know, Phil played his way onto this team. This wasn't one of those deals, oh, you know, let's take Phil one more time. He's still proven he can play. And you've got to think that some of the younger guys, like a Bryson DeChambeau, who's already looking to Tiger for assistance, can draw on Phil. I mean, not only does Jim Furyk have Jim Furyk, you know, he also got about every exempt player on the PGA Tour to be a vice captain. He named like five vice captains, and he's got Mickelson and Tiger. So that could be a huge boost, and Phil still loves to compete.
Yeah, he really does. And here's what he had to say about that foreign soil thing, Phil Mickelson.
Well, it's obvious that the one thing that has been missing is for our team to go over to Europe and win. And I'm very excited about the team this year. I'm excited to be a part of this team. We have some incredible players, great leadership, and a really special opportunity to do something that we haven't done in a long time. It's going to be a great challenge because we know how strong the European side is and how well they play at home, but it's a wonderful chance and opportunity for us to do something I haven't done or been a part of in my career and would very much like to.
Yeah, it's hard to believe when you look at Phil Mickelson's career. He's never been the number one player in the world. He's never won the Vorden Trophy. He's never been the leading money winner.
Yep, never been number one in the world rankings, right.
Right. I mean, incredible with what he's accomplished. And, of course, the main reason that Phil never achieved any of those lofty goals is Tiger. And he had an interesting comment about playing on Ryder Cup.
When I first made my first team in at Valderrama, it was quite an honor, and more than anything, it was a great learning experience to see the passion that one of our late great team leaders and Payne Stewart showed for the event. And he made me understand how important the Ryder Cup is. And from that moment on, I always wanted to be a part of each and every team. I haven't been part of the team playing-wise for 6 years and served as a vice captain a couple of years ago. And that was absolutely incredible to be part of the team, be part of these young guys, and just to try and help them in any way, shape, or form I could, whether it was with pairings, spikes, or sandwiches, or water, whatever they needed. I was there, and this year to have the honor to be able to play again is beyond special.
You know, it's amazing. I can go back to a press conference, Tiger Woods, and he was asked the following question. What do you think about the Ryder Cup, Tiger? Tiger pauses, responds by saying, "Tell me what Jack Nicklaus's record is in the Ryder Cup." Reporter pauses. Tiger said, "Didn't think so, but if I ask you how many majors Jack won, you'll tell me 18 in a heartbeat. How times have changed." Tiger didn't think much of Ryder Cup then, but he certainly thinks of a lot of it right now, and he's certainly going to be interesting to watch. As if we didn't have enough ingredients. The U.S. trying to win for the first time in 25 years, playing in France for the first time ever, and now we get Tiger not riding around in a golf cart giving out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but as a member of the team. I mean, a script in Hollywood couldn't be written any better than this, Jay.
Bob, I don't think even two huge Tiger fans like you and I and the rest of the public may be giving him enough credit. I mean, I remember us talking last December and wondering if this guy could ever compete again. And you know, we tried not to get fooled by the deal at the Bahamas, and he came out a little slow at Torrey Pines. And this has been a process, and it really has been a remarkable process. The fact that he competed, that he gave us, that he was in the mix on the final day at the last two majors. He fought through it last week. I mean, I don't think he's been his best the last couple of weeks, and he's still fighting through it because I do think he cares about this Ryder Cup and still cares about playing. So kudos to him. You know, I guess it doesn't compare to the accomplishments that he's done in terms of the winning. But I wonder, when it's all said and done, how strongly Tiger will feel about his return to the game and what he was able to do. Because it looked like he was done.
It certainly did. After a short commercial break, we'll take a look at Team Europe's four captain's picks.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Jay Randolph, Jr., along with my man, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. Bob will be jet-setting, as always, over the pond to France for this year's Ryder Cup. It should be something special. Bob, we mentioned in the beginning of the show that Pyrrhic's picks were pretty much a layup and went according to Hoyle. I'm not sure everybody would agree with that on the Euro side with Thomas Bjorn.
Yeah, and yet I think his picks were absolutely solid. I mean, I can make a good argument for the four picks, which were Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, Henrik Stenson, and Ian Poulter. And before we talk about that, Paul Casey, the name that, probably surprised people the most, here's what Thomas Bjorn had to say about his pick of Paul Casey.
Paul's commitment to what he wants to do with playing back in a Ryder Cup team after 10 years is, the conversations we had, he's really shown that he's missed this part of his life and he wanted to get back. And with a win earlier this year, he's really done well to get back in the frame. And it really was a no-brainer for me to bring him back.
So Thomas Bjorn thinks it was a no-brainer for Paul Casey. You agree with the pick?
I do. I agree with the Paul Casey pick. He's not the most flashiest cat in the world, but he is certainly consistent. I think if you can count on him for quality play, he's a veteran. He knows the format. He's been in the Ryder Cup. I was more surprised a little bit with Sergio, Bob. I mean, you know, I can understand it, and I understand all four picks, and all four picks are legit. I think the fact that Thomas Peters went 4-0-1 in his first Ryder Cup, he should have gotten a little bit of a look. And, you know, Rafa Cabrera-Bello has been playing pretty darn good, too. So he had a little tougher decision, and I think he went maybe with the safer picks. But this is going to put a lot of heat on Sergio.
Well, let's listen to what Sergio had to say.
Yeah, obviously, it feels amazing. I'm very thankful to Thomas and for believing in me. And, you know, I know that... It probably wasn't an easy decision. I mean, he knows what I bring to the team, not only game-wise, but inside the team room. It's been a tough year. It's the kind of year that, a few of those guys that I missed by one shot, you know, if you make the cut and you have a couple good weekends, then it kind of changes a little bit. But I've been working hard. I feel like my game is coming along, and and now I'm trying to be as ready as I can be to help the European team win that cup back. That's the goal, and that's what we want.
Yeah, you can throw out past performances when it comes to Sergio Garcia. His idol, Seve Ballesteros, and then Alofa Ball and Garcia Ryder Cup. And if Sergio didn't play at all this year and just showed up at France, I think he would just do fine. You and I both knew that Ian Poulter had to be on the team, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, this feels extra special to be part of another Ryder Cup team. For me, is amazing, and for Thomas to give me the call yesterday to say, I'd like you to join
this great team means absolutely everything to me. It's going to be an incredible spectacle. It's an extremely strong US team. But when you look at the European team on paper now, you know, I'm getting goosebumps just standing here talking about it. I absolutely can't wait.
And I don't think he's exaggerating when he said he's getting goosebumps. I mean, it's just amazing what Ryder Cup does to Ian Poulter.
Well, where you made the point of Tiger maybe not being as into the Ryder Cup as some others, you just go the opposite way with Poulter. I mean, you know, he'd have to have a broken leg not to want to be there. I mean, this is what a lot of those guys live for. And you mentioned Seve earlier, and, you know, the whole turnaround and transformation of them starting to win Ryder Cups. These guys were all bred on those guys, and some of them played with them, like a Darren Clark and some others. So, you know, I don't have any problem with picking Poulter at all. And I don't have any problem in the final pick, Stenson. While he hasn't played, Bob, Stenson-like golf throughout the year, or maybe his quality of play is normal, there's another guy with a veteran experience that will probably rise to the occasion.
And he can flat-out play when he has to. Here's Henrik Stenson.
No, it means a lot. I got some of my greatest memories from my career is from being part of that European Ryder Cup team. So to get that phone call and to be getting ready to be playing in Paris is just incredible, and I'm super excited, and I'm going to do my very best to show up with the best form possible.
You know, Jay, listening to Henrik Stenson saying that some of his best memories are Ryder Cup, there's one basic difference that I've grown accustomed to over the years, and maybe it's changing a little bit, but for years I would hear American players tell me constantly, boy, they really want to get on the Ryder Cup team. During that same period, I would hear from the European players, boy, do I really want to win a Ryder Cup. Now I think especially on foreign soil, since we haven't accomplished that in 25 years, I think the desire to win is equal of the Europeans, which certainly should add to the excitement later on this month.
I think you make a very valid point, Bob. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, the U.S. was so dominant that they lost a little of the fire for the event. It's taken them a little time. I think that's an excellent point you make. It almost was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Ryder Cup. And from the other side, it's always been, we're ready to hoist the trophy. And that's what their purpose has been. And I think now that you're starting to have some captains that have lived through some Ryder Cup disappointments, like a Jim Furyk, you know, he'll keep that pressure on their mind about the fact they haven't won over the pond.
You know, and I want to make this point, too. I was in complete accord when they announced Jim Furyk to be the Ryder Cup captain. He has certainly done nothing to dislodge that opinion that I had. At least until this point, he's been excellent. He's a class act. He's handling it with dignity. But, you know, the sad part is Thomas Bjorn could do the greatest job possible. Jim Furyk can do the greatest job possible. And yet one of them is going to leave France a loser. That's the reality of Ryder Cup.
You know, this, again, is an honorary position. It's not like it's a hired position and we've got the same captain every 2 years. So it's never the same. You know, even if a guy gets a chance to do it again, it's not the same team. I think we put way too much emphasis on the captains. Like I said, in essence, it's an honorary position. They're being chosen for their service, the type of individuals they are. I'm glad that the PGA of America has kind of changed their ways in the fact that it always seemed like it had to be a guy that had won a PGA championship. And obviously Jim Furyk didn't do that, being a U.S. Open champion. But, you know, I think we got, you know, two quality individuals who are going to do their best to have both teams ready. And we're getting ready to shut up and see the play-in pretty soon.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Bjorn, great pick as a captain. Jim Furyk, equally great pick as a captain.
Time for another short break, and then we'll see what the MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli's thoughts are on these Ryder Cup picks. You know he'll have some. And then let's take a quick look at this week's BMW Championship, which is the last chance to make it to the Tour Championship down in Atlanta. Remember, the top 30 is that magic number. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Group Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play The Grill Room Golf Show," and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Joining us now, Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, better known as Golf at a Glance. And Alex, the picks by Thomas Bjorn are in. Three of the four picks by Jim Furyk are in. I really want to devote this precious time with you to talking about a decision made by Jim Furyk, selecting David Duval as an assistant captain. Reading what you wrote about it, I get a sense that you think that was a wise move by Jim, and I'm just curious as to your reasoning.
Well, it's not necessarily my reasoning. I'm just a reporter here, Bob. But I think Furyk's reasoning, which I respect, was the fact that David Duval is someone that will give it to him straight. So if he thinks they're doing something wrong, he thinks something should be changed, he doesn't think a player maybe is playing the wit up to his capabilities at that point, and maybe they should make us change, you know, from a morning pairing to an afternoon pairing, David Duval is not going to back down, and he's going to go ahead and give him his position. And as Jim Furyk said to me yesterday, that's exactly what I want him to do. I don't want him to, you know, be a yes man. I want him to be in my face if necessary and tell me what he really thinks. And I think, you know, it's very hard to find a player, someone that's played not only at the highest levels and has been world number one in the world, and played two Ryder Cups, to come out and be able to do that. Most of these guys won't do that. You watch television all the time, and you hear former pros on there, and they're mealy-mouthed and don't want to give you an opinion. I don't think David Duval is unwilling to give you chapter and verse if he thinks it's necessary.
You know, as I see David Duval evolve now, being on Golf Channel and being involved with the media as much as he is, I can't but harken back to his playing days. If there was anything that he detested, was the responsibility of having to come into the media room and be part of that. What do you attribute the change to?
Yeah, you get older. You get wiser. I mean, even in your case, you've gotten a little smarter over time. I just think that the realization that what you had is no longer, and you kind of have to change who you are. And I think in David's case, Nick Faldo is another great example of a guy that was very difficult to approach at times when he was a player, and now is much more approachable. And I think also they see it from our viewpoint, which was a viewpoint that was impossible to see from when you were inside the ropes hitting shots. Now they see exactly what we have to go through, what we have to do. And in David's case, I think he's done a great job. He may be actually one of the best analysts there is in golf. He's just a young guy. So I think that there's a lot of positives in David Duval's approach now, an approach that he didn't have, you know, when he was playing golf.
Talking with Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Alex, my experience with David, I was with him when he won the Open Championship, was the first person to interview him. He couldn't comprehend that, is this all it is? In other words, he had sought winning a major championship for quite a while, and then when the realization of accomplishing that goal was realized, he seemed rather empty. In a strange way, could that help in this Ryder Cup where everybody that's going to be involved with that team has the Ryder Cup, if not near a life and death situation, almost the equivalency of. David probably doesn't have that thought about it.
Well, I think what you're going to get from David Duvall is that you're going to get 20 years of ups and downs. And there is that important part of the realization that this is not storming some hill in Okinawa in World War II. And actually, in talking to Jordan Spieth, his recognition of that, there's that recognition of this is just golf. We're hitting a golf ball. If they win, it's they want to win. There's no question they want to win. But at the same time, you can't take it too personally, and you can't get too wound up about it, especially when you're in the middle of the matches. And I think David will be able to express that to these players with an understanding of all the things that he's gone through. And when you go back to when he won the Open Championship, I think that was David Duvall in a nutshell. He never really knew what he really wanted in life. And I think maybe today, even though he's not playing professional golf, David Duvall might be at the top of his game doing exactly what he's doing and probably is enjoying it more than he did back in the day.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Well, there he is, the man I always like to say, the mouth that roared, Alex Maselli. You always got an opinion, Bob, and, you know, interesting to hear him talk about David Duvall.
Yeah, it really was kind of a off-the-wall pick. But he's right in one thing. David Duvall will tell Jim Furyk exactly what he's thinking. Whether Jim wants to hear that or not, that's another story. We're running out of time, but we got to take a look at the final playoff event, the BMW Championship at Aramanek in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, only 15 miles outside of Philly. Great golf course. Field is down to top 70, Jay, and after this week, only 30 move on to Eastlake.
Yeah, back-to-back historic golf courses, Aramanek and then Eastlake. And Aramanek continues that new tradition we're seeing in the playoffs where Gil Hans has restored Aramanek course and brought it back to its original Donald Ross design. And you mentioned the top 30. What they still do here is they pair them in order of the where they're ranked on the FedEx Cup. And we've got some interesting pairings going off in threesomes. Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, and Tiger Woods. How about that? And you toss that in with Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Justin Rose. I was looking at the DraftKings today. You know, I play in the DraftKings. There's so many good players, you can't put together a team. It's just crazy because we're down to the best 70.
Yeah, and of course, one decision still left for Jim Furyk, and he'll make that call after this week's competition. Clear-cut favorite. We've been touting him all along, Tony Finau. I would think, Jay, something special has to happen at the BMW Championship for somebody else to get the attention of Jim Furyk.
You'd have to think so. I thought maybe if Xander Schauffele made a move in Boston and then maybe played well this week, but I just kind of feel like it's Finau's spot. He'll be paired. Another featured pairing, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, and Tony Finau. That's pretty strong. So a lot of Ryder Cup players in the field, the chance to move on to Atlanta for that $10 million bonus, and again, be in that top five in the point standings, because then you've got a chance with a win to hoist the trophy in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, anybody that goes to Atlanta, if they're in the top five, they win the event in Atlanta, they automatically win that $10 million bonus.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.